Cody Gruber, missionary to the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. He lives in Merida, Mexico, the capital. And how long have you been there?
13.
Nearly 13 years. Dear old friend of this congregation, just happy to have him. Real privilege. And you've come preach to us now.
Once again, I'd like to express my thanks to this congregation, to your pastor, for your love and your friendship, for your support over these many years, and you ladies for this conference. You've done a wonderful job. Thankful for all the food, all the preparations, and we're thankful. This morning, I'd like to speak to us tonight, this morning, from Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Our purpose, when we come together as a body of believers, our purpose is to see and hear Christ. Now, He is our comfort. He's our strength. He's our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come together with this purpose, the Lord, He honors this purpose. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He honors this purpose. All the scriptures. When we come to see and hear of Him, how are we going to do that? We open the scriptures. All the scriptures speak of Him. From beginning to end, from Moses, the Psalms, the Prophets, the New Testament, all speak of Him. It's Him book. And we must agree that there are some passages in the Scripture that perhaps are more difficult for us to understand or see. Perhaps we don't have as much light. But the Lord does give us understanding. And when the Lord opens the understanding, you see Him, you can't see anything but Him. That's all you can see in the Scriptures is Him. You know, the apostles were walking back from Emmaus, and the Lord was speaking to them, and it says there in Luke 24, you know the Scripture, it says He opened their understanding. He's there all along, just been seen. And He opened the understanding beginning in Moses and the Prophets, the Psalms, all the Scriptures. He's speaking of the Old Testament. He told them the things concerning Himself. And this passage we have this morning is just full of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read with me. Well, I'm going to make some comments as we go along. We're going to go verse by verse. And I'll tell you right away, my verse text is in chapter and verse 1. So I want to go lightly through it as we go through, and then I'll come back to it. In that day, this is the day of salvation, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah, the land of praise. His mother said, this time I'll praise. That's what that means, the land of praise. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks. Open ye the gates to this city. Open ye the gates to this city. Why is it called gates? Why is it gates? And who are the righteous nation? It says, open ye the gates that a righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Well, I have three questions about this. What are these gates? And who is that righteous nation? And what is it to keep the truth? Well, this is figurative language. Open the gate. We know that there's only one door. The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. There's only one way to the Father, and that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. In Revelation, we have the city, the New Jerusalem, and it speaks of gates, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the east, and 3 on the west. And that's figurative language to let us know that God has His people from the four corners of the earth. There's another figure. The earth doesn't have corners. But it's north, south, east, and west. He has His nation. He has His people from every tongue, kindred, nation on the earth. Open you the gate. What is that? Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is opening the gate. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be saved. We have a positive message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe, you're condemned already, because you have not believed on the only begotten Son of God. But this is the message. Believe. Open the gates. That a righteous nation. Who is this righteous nation? Well, we know that there's none righteous. No, not one. These are those that are born of God. These are those. This nation is born of God. A righteous people. With a nature just like their father. You know, I have a father. You know how I got to be the son of my father? I was born of that father. And so do you. And everyone that has him as father is born into his family. We're born of God. Born. A righteous nation. This nation has the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu. He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness. That's dung. That's manure. That's what that means. That's manure. I don't want to be found in my own righteousness. I want to be found in the righteousness. Look at that with me there in Philippians chapter 3. There's only one righteousness. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how this nation is a righteous nation. Let's read verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That's the righteousness. That's the righteousness. His faithfulness. He believed God as a man. He obeyed God as a man. His faith. His faithfulness as a man. He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That faith of God. The faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God. By faith. It's the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness that these people are talking about right here. It's the righteousness of God. Open the gates of the righteous nation. It says here that keepeth the truth. That keepeth the truth. Well, what is it to keep the truth? Believe God. That's what it is to believe that the to believe God. Keep the truth is to believe God. I want to show you that in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I want to show you two verses. Verse 17. John 17, 17. The Lord says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth? His word. Everything that comes out of His mouth. This word you have in your hand, that's the truth. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, look at verse 6. I have manifested, this is the prophet. This is the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have manifested thy name, who you are. I've manifested who you are, how you may be just and the justifier of him that believeth in me. I've manifested your name, your perfections, which thou to the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. You gave them to me. I gave them your word, and they kept your word. That's the keepers of the truth, those that believe God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And if you believe God, this righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is unto all that believe on Him. It's unto you. How precious is that? Thou wilt, and I look here, open the gates. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe, they'll enter in. Now look at this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Verse 3. Perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. You've heard about pan-millennium. This is pan-millennium. It's perfect peace. Whatever the Lord brings is going to work out. That's all. That's what it is. It's perfect peace no matter what circumstance. It's perfect peace. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of His cross. He has taken away the enmity. He has suffered the wrath of God in the place of His people. He's taken away the enmity. And He's made peace with God. And we have peace in our conscience. So that no matter what comes, we know that it comes from the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. And all things are for our good. We don't understand it, but we do have peace. God's people have peace. I get troubled by people who don't get peace. Because God's people are kept in peace. Whatever He does. Job said, though He slay me, yet I won't trust Him. That's perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Therefore, trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, in Jah Jehovah, is everlasting strength. Who is Jah Jehovah? Who is the Lord Jehovah? That's that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. In Him, He is the arm of the Lord. In Him is everlasting strength. He is the Creator of all things. By Him all things were made that were made. They were made for Him, to Him, for His glory, for His pleasure. And all things consist by His power, by His Word. Trust in the Lord. He's the one that has the power. He said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's the one. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. For in Him there's everlasting. He's the rock. Rock of ages. Cleft from me. Let me hide myself in thee. Well, look here at verse 5. Now he's going to talk about another city. Verse 1 through 4 talking about the holy city. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's going to talk about the holy city and another city. Mixed. And I'll tell you which one he's talking about. But it says, trust ye in the Lord. Now look here, verse 5. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. There's another city, and that's Babylon. There's another city that is lofty and high, and is proud in its own self, trust in its own free will, trust in its own works to come before God, is proud and boastful. And that's a strong city in the sense that there's a lot in that city. There's a lot in that city. It says, He will bring down them. Everybody that lifts himself up, the Lord's going to bring down. And those that are abased, He's going to bring up. But these are up high. And all of us by nature are proud. Bless God, He's knocked us off our horse also. Knocked us off our horse like He did Saul of Tarsus. He bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He layeth it low. How low is low? He layeth it low. Even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. He's going to put His foot on all His enemies' neck. And they're going to confess that He is the Lord. To the praise of God the Father. He bringeth it low. He bringeth it low. He's not lacking power to do it either. It's just a little thing with Him to do it. How patient He is right now. How He puts up with this world because He's got His people. How easy it is. And people ought not think it takes a lot. A big thing with God. By His Word the worlds were made, and by His Word it's coming down. And it ain't going to take long. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor. Well, God's people are on this earth. God's people are in this world. And the feet of the poor are going to walk in this land. The steps of the needy are going to be in this land. But He's going to bring it low. The steps of the dead are still there. They're still there. Now look at this, verse 5. Let's talk about these needy people. Talking about God's people. Back in verse 7, now He's talking about the just again. He says, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most up high dost weigh the path of the just. The way, now that's talking about God's people, but that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as a man, he obeyed God. As a man, he had to fulfill God's holy law. And who's the judge of whether or not he did the right thing or not? The Most Up High, Most High. The Most High. God is the one that sees and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God is the one to whom the sacrifice was made. And God is the one that says, I'm pleased with the sacrifice. Let him go. I have enough. Deliver him from the pit. But if he doesn't satisfy God, nobody's going to be saved. If he doesn't establish a righteousness whereby you and I can stand before God and not be consumed, he's a consuming fire. And if he doesn't establish a righteousness that when we are seen in him, if he doesn't establish a righteousness with which God is satisfied, we're going to be consumed. That's what it says here. The way of the just is uprightness. The Lord says in Proverbs chapter 8, if you look over there real quick, because I just look over there with me. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness, says the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment. That is to say, when He saves His people, He does it in a way that God's law is honored. God's justice is vindicated. God's satisfied. God is honored. This is what the next verse talks about, verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited. That's us. We're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We're waiting for you. If you don't save us, no one's going to be saved. We're not going to be saved. You've heard people say, God has done all He can. No, that's not... Well, there's no salvation if God's done everything He can. If God's done everything, that's blasphemy. But this is not what the Scripture says. This is not where our rejoicing is. Our rejoicing is that our God has saved us from our sins. In the way of thy judgment, thy righteousness, thy judgments. That's in the way that we want to be saved. Oh, you don't want to be saved by hook and crook, do you? That's not what we want. Oh, no, we want God to be glorified. Let God be glorified, or let no one be saved. Let God get all the honor and glory, or nobody gets saved. He must do it in a way that He is glorified, that His righteousness is glorified, that His holiness is glorified, that His mercy is glorified. He must do it in a way. That's what the gospel is all about. God set Him forth to be a propitiation. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. That He might be the just and the justifier. I didn't quote it right. That's in Romans 3:25. That's what it's about. In the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name. That's the desire of my soul. I want to see my king sitting on the throne, getting all the honor and all the glory and all the praise and all the forever and ever. That's my desire. And to the remembrance of thee only. With my soul have desired thee in the night. Yea, my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. That is, when God's gospel is in the world, people are going to hear. When God's gospel, when God's judgment, when God's judgment, when the gospel of God's grace is preached, when Christ is lifted up, Apostle Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We see God's judgments. God is holy. God is just. God is love. God is mercy. We see His judgment. Well, while His judgments are in the earth, there's still hope. And I'll wait. And I'll look for you early in the morning. Let favor be showed unto the wicked. Oh, it's just a lot of favor being showed to the wicked. The very fact that the gospel is being preached. But you know, all the blessings, what we call temporal blessings, they'll never lead a man to repentance. They'll never lead a man to say how good God is. No, they'll attribute it to good fortune. I'm pretty wise, you know. Make some wise investments. They attribute it to their own skills, ability. They'll not learn righteousness. Let favor be shown to the wicked, but they'll not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, they'll deal unjustly. They'll take the word of God and say, if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him, He'll save you. Even with the word of God preached, they'll take it and twist it. Deal unjustly. And they will not behold the majesty of the Lord. They will not behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. When thy hand is, think about it two ways. When thy hand is lifted up, delivering the world, delivering His people from the world, the power of sin, and they don't know what's going on. Like, what are you doing over there, going there and listening to that same message all the time? What's God doing? He's delivering His people. They don't see it. But they will see it. But they will see it. One day, they'll say, I heard that message. I heard that message and I didn't believe. And they'll be the more condemned for it. And you can take it the other way. When His hand is lifted up to smash them, I don't know if that's the right word or not, to crush them, they don't see that either. They don't see that. They see the judgments of the Lord in the earth. They don't see that. They call it natural disasters. They don't see it. But they will see it. And be ashamed of their enmity at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies will devour them. Lord, thou ordain peace for us, even in all these adversities and all this that goes on. You'll ordain peace for us. You'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. For all thou also hast wrought all our works in us. That also, that's the reason. You are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained that you should walk in it. And one of those is peace. Not murmuring against God's providence, just perfect peace. You've worked our works in us. You worked it. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. There was a time we didn't love you. There was a time we were under the power of Satan, the spirit of wickedness. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We walked according to the spirit of the air. They've had dominion over us. But by thee, only. That's grace alone. By thee only, by thy grace alone, we'll make mention of thy name. We'll sing of your praises, your grace. They are dead, these false gods. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. All the idols of men, they're dead. They have eyes, they don't see. They have ears, they don't hear. They have tongues, they don't talk. They have feet, they don't walk. The Lord said, those people that make them, they're just as dumb, blind, and deaf as the people that make them. And everybody that trusts in them also. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, the nation of thy people. Thou hast increased it. All over the world, the gospel is being preached. And the Lord, this gospel, the Lord said, will be preached to the end of the world. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far. That word removed is expanded. Expanded it far into the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. The Lord said, in this world you'll have tribulation. In trouble they have visited thee. They have poured out the prayer when thy chastening was upon them. We know that the Lord chastens everyone that he receives as a son. And in this world we're going to be chastened. If we don't have chastisement, we don't have correction from the Lord, we're bastards and not sons. But when we're chastened, we feel it. The Apostle Paul said, it ain't nice at the time. It don't feel good at the time. But we pray. We pray. Have they visited thee in prayer and poured out their prayer when thou chastenest was upon them? Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out for her pains, so have we been all in thy sight, O Lord. Travail. The Apostle Paul said this, we groan. And we groan. The world groans and we groan, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And we groan within ourselves and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. In fact, the battle is the Lord. He's going to win the battle. Thank God he's going to deliver us even from ourselves, from our own sin. It says here, we have been with child, been with pain. It said, verse 18, we have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind, and have not brought any deliverance in the earth. That is to say, all our striving hasn't added anything to God's work. We don't add anything to God's work. It's finished. His work is finished. We haven't brought any deliverance on the earth. We haven't brought righteousness in the earth. People trying to have these campaigns. No, this world is not going to get better. If you just put salt on a piece of dead meat, and all it does is preserve it, that meat's still dead. That meat's still dead, and it's still going to rot. Now, what's going to keep it from showing its rottenness is a lot of grace, a lot of salt. I got to hurry. We have not brought any deliverance on the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen, not by us. All we do is live our lives, and in the end, we go to the grave. We go to the grave. But now listen to the Lord speak there in verse 19. Go ahead, go to the grave. Thy dead man shall live together with my dead body. And that's what your dead man. All those that die, blessed are those that die in the Lord. You're dead men. Go into the grave. Go in and rest a while, the Lord says. Your dead men will raise together with my dead body. There's two ways to look at that. First, we've all risen together with Christ Jesus when he was risen from the grave. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh my. Ephesians chapter 2.
Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Quickened us together. When did Christ get quickening? The third day. He was quickened. He came back to life. Raised from the dead. We're quickened together with Christ. By grace are you saved. What part does your faith have to do in that right there? What part does your faith have to do in that verse right there? Nothing. When Christ was raised, you're saved by grace. Isn't that wonderful? Now we do believe in Him. That's one way we see that way. We're going to be raised. We're raised with His dead body. But there's another way. His church is His body. His bride, His church is His body. And there's going to come a day when the voice is going to sound, the trumpet, and all those that died in the Lord are going to come forth to be together with the Lord. That's His body. And they're going to come together at the same time. One. Thy dead men shall raise. Arise and sing. No wonder they sing. This is the song they'll sing in the land of Judah. In the land of praise, in the day of salvation, in that day, no wonder they'll sing. Arise and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out his dead. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers, and shut the doors about thee. Go into the grave. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little while. He's only been gone a little while. A little while. You know, when children are going to go on a trip, they drive parents crazy. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Especially if it's on a new place, you know. They're just like, from the beginning, you get in the car and they just, are you going to get there? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you think, we're just going 10 minutes down the road. And it's driving you crazy. They're impatient. Are they not? They're impatient. Well, it's just a little while. 2,000 years since the Lord was raised from the grave, but that's just a little while. 6,000 years from the time of creation, but that's just a little while. What is 1,000 years in eternity? Time is not existent in eternity. Just a little while. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers. And shut the doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is overpast. He's going to come. He's going to take vengeance on all those that believe not the gospel, obey not the gospel. For behold, the Lord cometh out of a place, his place, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain from the very first one, Abel. Right? Abel. Can I listen? This is my text, verse 1. It says, "Arise and sing." What a song. What a song. The song of the redeemed. The song of a strong city. It says here, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of praise," the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Made strong by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the builder of this city. He is the foundation of this city. He said, on this rock, I'll build my city, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a strong city. The Lord Jehovah, Jah Jehovah, and Him that is strength. He is the strong one. Let me find my text here. Here we go. I want us to look at the strength of this city, of the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, the Lord God appoint. Will the Lord God appoint for walls? Salvation. Will the Lord God appoint? The Lord Jesus Christ was appointed by God the Father.
appointed by God the Father to be the salvation of His people. And this word salvation, it says, salvation will God appoint. Salvation is not just a term used to describe forgiveness of sins. Salvation is not just a term used to describe freedom from the condemnation, freedom from the power of sin, freedom from the presence of sin. Salvation is not just a term used to describe eternal life or resurrection from the dead. Salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. These terms mean nothing without the Savior. He said, Martha, you believe in the resurrection? There ain't no resurrection without me. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He is salvation. God has appointed for this city, the Lord Jesus Christ is the walls and bulwarks. And the picture is of this city that's protected by strong wall and another strong wall and another strong wall and another strong wall. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is that wall. The Lord Jesus Christ is that strong wall. And all that He is and all that He does for His people is salvation. The salvation to His people. You know, the Simeon came into the temple one day and the Lord directed him there and he picked up the little babe, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, now lettest thou servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a person. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Consider with me, just for a brief moment, as we look at these walls. Consider as we look in these walls. In the city, we look out and we see this wall. Wall of protection. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in Him, first of all, God's eternal, unchangeable love in Christ Jesus. What a wall of protection. God's eternal, unchangeable love in Christ Jesus our Lord. How strong is this wall? The Lord said, with an everlasting love have I loved you. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I'll draw you with tender hands. Everlasting. Nothing can remove us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We're kept. God loves His people. God loves His Son and those that are in His Son. Oh, how dishonoring it is to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ to say that God loves everybody. Oh, no. Oh, no. God loves His people. God loves His Son and those that are in His Son. Never does it say that God loves the whole world. God does not love those whom He sends to hell. Neither would you. You love some people and you do everything you can to do good to them. The Lord loves His people and He's going to do everything He can to get it. And it's ever. It's, I'm not saying that in a way that it wouldn't be. I'm just saying He's all powerful. He's all powerful. The love of God. The love of God and His Son. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor things present, nor things to come, nor things in heaven, or things in the earth, shall be able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. What a wall of protection. Consider the second wall, the electing grace of God, the purpose of God. This is what I want to say. The purpose of God. Can anything overthrow the purpose of God to redeem His people? Is God's hand short that He cannot save? Now, those whom He chose, He's going to save. He's going to save. No doubt about that. The reason anybody believes God is because God chose him. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I know you're chosen of God because when the gospel came to you, you received it. You received it. Otherwise, you wouldn't. Nobody's going to be saved, take God by surprise. He's not committing accidents. It's on purpose. His purpose. What a wonderful wall of protection. What about the redemption through His blood? What about the redemption through His blood? The Lord Jesus Christ It is His blood that saves us from our sin. We sing that song, "Thy blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed be saved to sin no more." It's His blood. What a wall of protection. Think about our enemies, which is our sins. Our sins have separated us from our God. Think about our sins as our enemy. And what has the wall of His blood done? It says it has separated our sins as far as the east is from the west. How thick is that wall? Huh? How thick is that wall? What a wall of protection. So that God Himself cannot remember the sins of His people. That's a thick wall. Well, His righteousness. We not only have in Him forgiveness of sins, but we have righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. We're accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. And then the fourth thing I want you to see, and I'll quit. The wall of the Spirit of Christ in you. It says there in Ephesians chapter 1, 14, that we have that seal. That seal. That seal is a guarantee. It's ownership. It's guaranteed. Nothing can take it away. We're sealed with the Spirit of Christ in us. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he's not of Him. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of Him. We have this Spirit in regeneration. Lord, when He begets us again into new life, He gives us a new Spirit. It's a new man created in Christ Jesus. And also He puts His Spirit. You know, some people maybe have a little hard time understanding that. But, you know, there was a man in the Gadarenes who had 2,000 spirits. 2,000 evil spirits. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes, He puts a new spirit. And He puts His Spirit. It's a new man. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Listen to this. Greater is He that is in you that is in the world. What a wall. What a wall. And that day, well, we're singing it right now, aren't we? We're singing it right now. What a wonderful shape. But how much more will that song sound? What is that word? Crescendo? How much louder will that song sound when we're plumb saved? Think about that. May the Lord bless you.
Going to sing a hymn, and while we're singing this hymn, you need to get up and go to the restroom, and ladies need to change shifts in the nursery and tend to your babies. Do that. After we sing this hymn, then we'll take up the offering. Okay, so let's Brother Gabe, you come and turn to number 287 in the green hymnal. Change of hymns also. We have to sing this one, taken from Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Number 287, let's stand as we sing there. And Gabe, number 287.